Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come and join us. Come and learn with us. Tell them to go to www.cityonahill.tv and share our podcast, that it will bless them. We are sure of it. And today we have a very special guest. It is Peyton Wolcott. Hi, Peyton.
Hi, Diana. How are you this fine, beautiful afternoon?
Oh, I'm just wonderful. And I was just thinking, you know, I just praise God, Peyton, for the work that you're doing. And I was just also reminded of the beginning of this nation. You know, who really educated the children? If I remember rightly, it was their parents.
A lot of children were homeschooled, yes. What we would call homeschooled, and those children received a sound basic education in the basics. It was accepted that children learned how to read and write and learn their basic tables just as part. Nobody even questioned it back then because that was the system that had been in place for millennia, not just centuries, but for a very long time. And where we are now, I thank you so much for including me today, and I thank you for all the work you're doing to help wake up America to where things, not only where things are, where we are with our education system, that's my primary interest, but also what the average person can do to improve things, which is kind of what I hope we can spend some time talking about today. What can the average person do? Say you're like me, a baby boomer, and you find out that your local school district is no longer teaching the basic math tables. Children in our local schools, in most school districts in America, no longer do as you and I did, which is first grade, you learn the basic addition tables. 1 plus 1 equals 2, 2 plus 2 equals 4, and so on. And then in second grade, you concentrate on subtraction. 2 minus 1 equals 1, 4 minus 2 equals 2. In third grade, children used to learn the multiplication tables, And in fourth grade, they used to learn the basic division tables. I went to a religious school, a Catholic school, and we learned all the way to 12. Public school at that time learned all the way to 10, which was a far cry, far, far better than what they're doing now, which is children as early as kindergarten are being exposed to a few algebraic concepts without learning the basic math tables first. Have you grandchildren? Have you watched what they're doing in school, or your children and your grandchildren rather, are they learning the basic math tables?
Well, that, you know, you really hit the nail on the head, and really I'm just really thankful to God that you have offered this up, Peyton, because I saw it for myself, and Miss Barbara too. We were talking about it and very concerned, but let me go ahead. This is a very important topic, and I pray that you, the parent or grandparent, are tuning in with us so that, you know, hopefully you can glean something that will help you to help your child. But I want to give it to God in prayer, Peyton, because it's such an important topic. The field that you're in is, I think, you know, it's really about the very basic structure that God has given us of family. You know, how do you help a family? They're floundering, and you are assisting in just a magnificent way. And I just want to extend my thank, and I'm sure everyone that you are, you know, going out there to help, it's just really amazing, their families. But let me go ahead, and if you don't mind, we'll start this off in prayer.
Please.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your goodness, your, Lord, mercy, your grace. And, Lord, you are in the details. Lord, I thank you for the show because of what it has been a blessing to me personally. Just seeing your hand upon this nation and how you are a guide, Lord, and you continue to be a guide. You continue to be present in the details. And, Lord, it's very important details, Lord. The fact that, Peyton, Lord, that this has been put as a calling in her life, Lord, it's just your way of sending help to many parents that I know, Lord, have stayed up late at night, shaking their head, asking, what else can I do to help my child? Lord, Heavenly Father, things have been turned upside down. Things that should have been easy have been made complicated to the point that a parent, many of them, feel they no longer can be of help to their children. But yet, Lord, Peyton is here, ready and willing to help that mother, that father, to become so fruitful, Lord, in helping their children become the best they can be. And it starts, Lord, just by letting them realize the simple steps that it takes, Lord, to regain clarity, in essence, to take back their family. Because, Lord, I know that the frustration sometimes that they feel is so stressful, it's almost as if they're losing their family. They don't know how to help. So, Lord, we ask that you be present and that you help everyone that tunes in and hears this, Lord, to share this with other parents, Lord, that are hurting. Order Peyton's steps, Lord, and my steps and our speech, Lord, that you will be glorified, Heavenly Father. And we thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,
well,
Peyton, what a great
thank
start.
You so much. Well, go ahead, Peyton, sorry.
Is Barbara on with us this afternoon?
No, I think I may have you alone for the full hour. Now, she may join us later, and I'm hoping she does. She was wanting to be on, but I think something else had come up. So,
well, that's okay.
It's fine.
Here's the thing. I think the worst thing in the world, not the worst, but one of the worst feelings in the world is being frustrated or feeling frustrated. And you find out that your children are not receiving the basic math tables, and their math they're learning in school is funny, where you knew in your head 15 divided by 5 equals 3. The children come home with math worksheets where they've got circles, and you put dots in the circles, it's not anything that most adult parents can relate to. And on the other hand, say you're a grandparent. Say you're like me, you're a baby boomer, and you have a little time. If you're careful with your time, you can help other children, other people's children. And that's where we are right now. We had a nice introduction to the local Boys and Girls Club and by a local educator who could see the value of what we were doing or wanting to do. And a group of us go to the local Boys and Girls Club in our nearby little town, and 4 afternoons a week for about 3.5-4 months, once in the fall and then again in the spring semester, and we work with the children every afternoon. And it's been so encouraging, Diana, to see how well these children respond. It's been amazing. We had our end of fall semester Christmas party for the children, and we had given a pretty good party in May, so they knew what we do. It's a reward system. Kids have to qualify to come to our end of semester parties. And how do they qualify? Now because of so many kids coming, we have a couple of big posters up with their name, and we have each one of the tables they can have a stamp for, the 1+, the 2+, the 3+, and the 1 subtraction, the 1 multiplication, and the 1 division. Obviously, you know, the ones on multiplication and or division and subtraction, we skip a few at the beginning because those are so easy. But the children have to pass 3 tables to even qualify for the party. That means they have to have 3 stickers. Now, we are stern taskmasters, and you would think... Now realize this is a wonderful Boys and Girls Club. They offer myriad activity. The children, 1 afternoon a week, get yoga lessons. They get to go on outings. There's the gym. There's the art room, which is always fun and fascinating. They have pottery one day. And there are video games. We are competing with a lot of fun. And we love it that the Boys and Girls Club is offering fun activities, because we want the children to come there. We want it to be an attractive place. But at the same time, somehow they find their way to our math room. And we teach the children, we make them work. We make them work hard. We teach them to automaticity. That means what they do, just very simply, if anybody would like to replicate this in their little town, we have the children sign in when they first come, their name and grade and what they're working on. Then we give them very simple math worksheets. In fact, I just this afternoon was able to post an example of the worksheets and our homemade flashcards on my website, www.peytonwalcott.com, PeytonWalcott. Yeah. Yeah, you can see the math worksheets we do. And what we do, we have found simple rote works so well. The children get, say like this first little girl was working on the high fours, 4+'s. So she would sit down and trace 4 + 7 = 11 10 times. We get them to do little tally marks to show us that, yes, they've traced each one 10 times. And we get them to say them to themselves silently. So you have the mental, you have the visual, you have the tactile. You have the more of the senses when you're teaching children, the better they learn, the faster they learn, the more effectively.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Would you mind repeating that again? How you get them to do that? I want to make sure I get that.
Okay, it's the on the worksheets, they trace each table, each one of them 10 times. the children, at first they would try and slide through, and they still, some of them would like to do that. But we find if they will do each of them 10 times, which, like this first example, you can see on my website, 4 plus 7 is 11. They do that 10 times, and they're probably going to remember it a lot better than if they just look at it once, right? And we did this mostly because by now there are three of us volunteers who come every afternoon. Of course, the more volunteers we have, the more children come. We thought originally we were going to be able to cut down to 2 or 3 days each, but we're finding that there's the children, when they see a number of adults, they will come to our math room. So we get them to do a little tally mark under each of the table, under that 4 plus 7 is 11. Put a little dot for 1 for the first time they did it, the second time. And that helps them see some progress because it can seem pretty boring, but we work with them and encourage them. So then after they do the math worksheets that we, and these are homemade, and I think that's part of the appeal. The children all day long at school see so much that's commercially prepared and cartoons. We're grandmas. We don't pretend to be anything but grandmas. And they see that we have taken the time to draw out these worksheets by hand and then have them copied. So after they've done the worksheet and we know that they've done the worksheet, then we work with them one-on-one with our flashcards. And we use homemade flashcards. I've got a fancier one here on the website. It's amazing how many of the children, when they first come to us, do not even know how to compute 1 plus 1 is 2. We had a sixth grade girl last year who was making average grades in school, no big alarms for the mom, and the mom was a busy working mom, busy with older children. She did not even realize that her sixth grader could not compute 1 plus 1 is 2.
Wow. Well, Peyton, so, you're right there in Texas.
Yeah.
And I know Texas is one of the best places to learn. But even, I was going through some of the things that Jane was studying, and it was just flooring me at how they've
this
made
is your
it
granddaughter?
So complicated. Yeah, they've made it so complicated
yep.
that it was hard for even the parent to try to teach the child.
Now, there are some theories that say that that's part of the plan, and I've actually seen internal memos that people got to me somehow confirming that, but I'd rather not go there. I'd rather... rather than affixing blame or anything like that, I'd rather say, here we are. I don't want to get involved in the politics of it on that particular issue. I just want to be part of the solution. And what can I do to help be part of the solution? And that's what we're concentrating on. So one of the things that we've learned, only one of the three of us was ever a professional school teacher. The other woman and I have had busy lives as in our own professions and as volunteers. We learned that children can only learn 3 factoids at a time. So say that first little worksheet, I don't know if you've been able to go to the website or not. Okay, see 4 plus 7 is 11. When we work with the children with the flashcards, we only do 3 of those factoids. We would only, if they already, say, and we take them where they are. If the little girl who did 4 plus 7 is 11 already knows that one, and we know she knows it, then we'll do 4 plus 8 is 12, 4 plus 9 is 13, 4 plus 10 is 14. Those are the only 3 flashcards that we work with them on. And
wow.
And what we do is, And there's a tendency with people to make the kids go too fast, and they can't absorb it that fast. But if you'll do 3 flashcards at a time, in 4 days they've learned the whole table. They've learned the whole 1 plus table, for example. They can learn that in a week if you do it systematically the way we've learned. So say with this little, the example of the little girl working on the what we call the high four pluses. Four plus eight is 12. Four plus nine is 13. Four plus 10 is 14. We only have those three flashcards in front of us, and these are homemade 3x5 flashcards. Anybody can do that. Just get Sharpies, black Sharpies, and write large so that the children can see them easily. Don't use a fancy type, just basic 1 plus 2 is 3, whatever. Yes?
Can I ask as we go along, if you don't mind, how long do you have that child to do that set of 3 flashcards?
Well, our program has become so popular, it's really a challenge to spend more than 3 or 4 minutes with each child.
Okay, so you're trying to do that for, you've got them for a total maybe an hour? Do they go in your room for maybe an hour? And
the Boys and Girls Club, because they have so many functions going on, they're only able to give us the room for anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half. Now, last year, our first year, I stayed some nights till 6 or 7 just to help get all the kids through. Fortunately, we had a really good party in May, and the kids all heard about it. And so we've become kind of a neat destination for them. So they make sure they come to us earlier. But right now, for example, 2 pluses, we've got a bunch of kids. We might have 6 children on the low 2 pluses on any given day. Sometimes we have to put all of them together. It's not as satisfactory because they really do learn better in the one-on-one situation. But sometimes, just because there are only 3 of us, and if we have 40 kids coming through in an hour, just do the math. We have to do them in groups. That's our last choice, but sometimes we have to do that. And what we
do...
Wow,
that is really neat.
Oh, it's so much fun. It is my friend Karen, who volunteers with me, is a pillar in our community. She was on the city council. She's done so many incredible things. She's got a sterling reputation here where we live. And she said, you know, this is the one place I go every day that I know I'm supposed to be there.
Well, you know, that's basic, but my goodness, it's like if you can't crawl, you cannot walk.
No, that's right. That's right.
Crawl.
That's right. So what we have, what we do with the kids with the flashcards, let me just give you a little for example. Pretend, Diana, that you're, and we have the kids in front of us on a chair, you know, just so that we're directly one-on-one. We might be at a table. We might be 2 chairs, depending on how much room we have in the workroom that day. And say, Diana, pretend just for a second that you're a second grader, and we're doing the 2 pluses. So, and you're at the very beginning of the 2 pluses. So 2 plus 0 is 2. And I get you to say that with me. And maybe you're a little impetuous. Maybe you're a little feisty. Maybe you want to race ahead. And so we get the children to work with us, not to race against us, if you can follow what I'm saying. And we make it fun. Not that we're trying, we don't do goofy anything, but we engage them. We make sure we have eye contact with them. And so I'll get you to say with me, 2 plus 0 is 2. And we go very slowly. We do that 3 or 4 times. 2 plus 0 is 2. 2 plus 0 is 2. 2 plus 0 is 2. And because you, Diana, second grader, have already done that 10 times, remember, with the worksheet before you came to us one-on-one, you probably are going to remember that one, right?
Wow.
Because you've had it's rote and repetition, rote and repetition. But we also engage them when we're doing it. So then if once I think that you, second grader Diana, have 2 plus 0 is 2, then we go on to 2 plus 1 is 3. And we do that. And I might mix it up, and then I'll go back to 2 plus 0. Did you remember 2 plus 0? If not, we go back to 2 plus 0. There's no point in racing ahead. They have to get the very basic ones before we move ahead. And it's just the most, you can see how much we enjoy it. The children are so wonderful. And you never know from one semester to the next, one week to the next. We had a little boy who, I won't reveal his name, but he looks like a 10-year-old Denzel Washington. Handsome, handsome young man. I think 10 years old, maybe turning 11. Last spring, he was not interested in the math. He came in, he got his 3 stickers to qualify for the party. Remember I mentioned you have to have 3 stickers to qualify for our end-of-year party? Qualified, and that was it. He came, he got to have the pizza and the dessert and play the games and all that, but he saw the prizes. The prizes were really cool, and we had the prizes. So what happened? He came in this last fall ready to work. He was our high achiever. He got the number one high achievement award. He mastered, at his young, tender age, all 12 of the basic math addition tables, all 12 of the basic multiplication, subtraction, and division.
God,
are you there?
Is good.
Is
God
that
is
exciting?
Good. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yes, and just, you know, it's really so encouraging, Peyton, because, you know, you have mastered, and really you went through a common sense approach. We know what works, and you knew what worked. You know, and it just blows my mind how you made that change for that family in really simple little steps that a parent can understand to do.
Anybody can do this with their child. It's one of the basic hallmarks of this system is every day. Every day makes a difference. Do a little bit every day. Parents could do this with their children in the car to and from school. Yeah, it would help if you were able to be at a dining room table with them at night or something like that. But if you don't have time, and I understand the schedules that most families have, believe me, I know, I've talked to the moms, I know what they're going through. I have children of my own, and who I'm now grandmother. We know what modern family life is like. But if whatever it is you can do every day with the child makes a difference, and it's that constancy that makes a difference. So, as I said, we're competing with the most cool things you can imagine in the world, and the kids keep finding their way to us. Now, I want you to hear something. We live in Horseshoe Bay. Our nearest town in the next county is 15 minutes away. It's Marble Falls. Marble Falls is, I think, 6,000 population, and it's those public school children who come to our program. There are only usually 100 kids or so at the Boys and Girls Club on a typical day at this point. Do you know we had 63 children last fall qualify for our Christmas party?
Wow.
63. Wow. Now listen to this, because we gave such a good party last spring, almost last spring, we had, I would say, maybe 75% of the children, two-thirds to three-fourths of the children actually were able to attend the Christmas, the May pizza party. Because kids knew the prizes were great and we have a lot of fun at the parties, we plan them a little bit. We had all but, I think, 4 children come to the Christmas party.
Oh,
can you imagine?
You made it fun. Oh.
Well, we did, but we work the kids really hard. We make it serious. The business of childhood is learning. We treat them with dignity and respect. We don't talk down to them. We don't do goofy things with them. We honor them. We do try and make it fun and pleasant, but it's just been the most wonderful thing, and we know these children who come through our program are learning the math basics. And the reason we do that, a little, I don't know about your granddaughter, but in first and second grade, you know, they get the worksheets that come home with hundreds on them and happy faces and smiley faces and stars and you're a great mm-hmm. kid, you know, all that stuff. And then the ones that did not learn the math fundamentals, which there are a lot of them, when they hit 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, middle school, that's where they start having problems. And it's harder to correct the problems by then. Then these are the same children in high school who literally hit a wall. And if they're poor children, if mom and dad are holding down 2-3 jobs each just to support the family, maybe a parent is in another country trying to immigrate back, you know, these children have a lot of challenges that we're working with. Those children, it would be very easy to drop out, become a teen mom, get involved in gangs and have all kinds of issues there. So these children have a much better, stronger chance of not hitting that wall and becoming successful in high school and going on to college and hopefully not having to have remedial like half our kids entering college now. So anyway,
I agree with that, Peyton. I worked for Human Resources, and, you know, would see in the families, and I would see that a lot of them, they would have their, you know, by third grade, you can tell which one's going to make it and which one's not, because they start really having serious problems considering, you know, failing a grade, and you really see it duplicated. You know, when they start having problems with third and fourth grade, you see those are the kids that drop out as soon as possible in high school because they never got it right in elementary school.
Well, you see why we have targeted those children.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's exactly what needs to be done. And I am so glad that you have pointed that out because it's easily remedied from what you just said. We really need to turn things around. We're going the wrong direction. We made it so complicated for even parents to attempt. But your way is so easy. A parent's not going to get intimidated.
Oh, no, it's so simple. It is so simple. And if people will go to my website, they can see. Just I did a little bit prettier version just because I was in a hurry. But we basically, if you can just buy a couple of stacks of index cards, just plain white index cards, do all the one pluses. One plus one is two. And it's got to be vertical, not horizontal. You know, one on top of the one and then the two. And let the children see the answer. We tried at the beginning of our program buying every known manufactured flashcard, and almost all of them have the answer on the back, or it's not a complete set. And after buying every set I could buy, we finally started making our own flashcards. Mm-hmm. And the children, these are big prizes for the kids. If one's getting a little worn and somebody's, you can tell somebody's really working hard and wanting to practice, we'll either let them take the worksheets home or we'll let them take a set of flashcards home.
Now, Peyton, let me ask.
Yeah.
I guess let me ask. I may have missed it. Now, how do you determine, you know, where they're behind? Like if it's people that should already be in the math level doing their math, their division, it seems like, you know, they're just going through it too fast. Your version is slow and easy, yet they retain it.
Yes.
Do you just talk to their parents, talk to them, or do you have something
it depends. What is the situation? If you're talking about your own grandchild and your
mm-hmm.
child welcomes your participation in their life, just sit down with your granddaughter and draw 1 + 1 = 2. And see if she knows it.
Okay.
And if she knows and then go to 1 + 10. Does she know that? Here's a great word that we use with the children, and the children love it. Automaticity. Is that a great word?
Yeah.
It's polysyllabic.
It's
polysyllabic. So what it is. It just means, do they know them automatically? And what you want the child to do is learn them so that they can respond automatically. And that's what I was starting to say a while ago about the stickers. Before they get a sticker for mastery, say for the two pluses, they have to know all 12 of them to automaticity. No hesitation, no, if we get them to put their hands either on their knees or on the table, no counting on their fingers. They have to know it. And this
no counting on fingers.
Huh?
No counting on fingers. That's easily seen.
Well, it is, but you can also see if they're adding in their heads because they'll look away. And unless they're able to answer immediately, they don't know it. And what I tell them, and this is, we kind of lay down a little challenge for them when they, we say, look, we learned them to automaticity when we were your age. We still know them. And whatever level the kids are working on, we get them to just ask us. Ask us anything. Say it's the two pluses. Ask me anything on the two pluses through 12. Just ask me any of them. And you answer like that because we know them like that. We still know them like that after all these years. That you should see the look on their face. They understand that this is something of value that they're learning. Now, what they don't understand is that the brains, they're wonderful young being formed brains, are learning to memorize. And in our schools today, most children don't memorize anymore. And they're being taught, you know, this thing of higher order thinking skills or critical thinking or whatever. That's kind of, I think, kind of bogus myself. What children need to do is learn facts. They need to learn lots of facts. They need to memorize lots of facts. Not that we're brainwashing them, but 2 + 2 is always going to be 2 + 2. That's not going to slip ship shape. So you get the children to memorize a lot of facts, and guess what? They develop their own critical thinking skills. They develop their own higher order thinking skills. Do you see?
They build on they've already learned.
That's exactly it. And they develop self confidence because they know 2 + 2 = 4. They know it.
It's just like building a house. I'm sorry, Clayton. It's like building a house. You know you have to have a foundation. That's not gonna change.
Right.
And we've taken that away from them. It's like, okay, we've got to make the foundation very complicated. But you have made it so simple so that, like you said, it builds confidence so that they know they can tackle the next level and
so forth. That's right.
That's wonderful.
You should see the light bulb moments on their faces.
Oh, my God.
And we're just wily grandmas wanting to help. We've developed a bag of tricks. When we have... I'm going to call him Jamel, the worst boy at the Boys and Girls Club. That's not his name. But, you know, when you have 200-300 kids or 100 kids, there's going to be one who seems to want to be a troublemaker. You know that. That's not a big stretch.
Yeah.
There's going to be one child who has a lot of energy and maybe hasn't learned how to use this energy. I think that's the most positive way of putting it. This kid was a pain last spring. He was awful. I finally realized it's because he wanted to learn. He didn't know how. He didn't even know what he didn't know. And I finally got all the kids away from my table, and I worked with them one-on-one, and I talked with them in a low voice so the other kids couldn't hear. Because he was a cool kid and he had an image to protect, right? So I realized he did not understand the most basic fundamentals of math, which is a simple vertical equation like you see on the math card. I reached for the closest thing I had, which was the candy. We do give the children a piece of candy after they worked every afternoon. Call it a bribe, call it a reward. It's just something we do. The children get enough candy every day that we certainly are not making any inroads into their diet or health or anything. But it's just something we do that seems to help. I grabbed for the bag of candy, and I forget what, let's just say that they were red Kit Kat, little bite-sized one-inch red Kit Kats.
Uh-huh.
Can you picture that, like Halloween
yeah.
treat size? So
yeah.
I pulled those out, and I put one, and then I put another one. And I said, 1 + 1 = 2. And I moved them together when I said is 2. And I did it a couple of times. And then I said, 1 + 2 = 3. And I did the same thing with 1 Kit Kat, then 2 Kit Kats. And then we went on up to 6. And then I went back through and I pulled out the flashcards. 1 + 1 = 2. He could see the 2 Kit Kats, right? 1 + 1 = 2. Then the flashcard, the 1 + 1 = 2. By the time we got to 3s, you should have seen this child's face beaming.
Aww.
He got it. He said,
and
he was in third grade last year. He said,
wow.
I understand math.
Hmm. Wow, that is awesome. Kate.
And he's been a wonderful,
And
we've used that with all the kids now. But that was just something, Diana, a frustrated, loving grandma wanting to help a little kid, and I just used the quickest thing at hand, which was a bag of candy. I knew that the candy would get his attention. The kids
Love candy Peyton,
now.
I just think to myself now, Peyton, if you don't mind, share with us what some of the parents, the stories of the families having gone through this. I just cannot imagine that these parents aren't telling you what a difference it's making in their house.
What we don't hear from all the parents, a lot of times the parents maybe don't speak English. They're as I said, they're working multiple jobs just to keep their family with a roof over their head. This is a pretty basic living level that a lot of them are living at. Some of the parents don't understand. Well, my child's passing school. I don't understand why this is necessary. You know, it's what we've had to do. There's something called attraction. You know, where you can either make people do something or you can attract them to what you're doing. And I have found as a longtime volunteer and activist, you know me and the credit card and the check register issue, the old expression, you can attract a lot more flies with honey than with vinegar. Our thing has been to make it fun. We do hear from parents regularly that Johnny, Jamail, whoever, is doing much better in school now.
We have a caller. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
We have somebody that maybe has a question or comment. So go ahead
and
keep telling a little bit more, and I'm going to try to ask them if they would like to come on and ask you a question, okay?
Oh, terrific. So we have candy math, which has been very popular. We have the posters I mentioned with their names on them, and the children get to see us put the sticker on as they've earned a table, and whoever gets the first sticker every day, we have applause in the room. And then we did something fun at the Christmas party last fall. We had the children come through a small foyer before they came into the Christmas party room, and they showed us on their name where their name was on the poster, and they could really correlate the work they had done with getting to come have fun at the party. So that was a lot of fun, and we did do something. Remember the young man I mentioned, the Denzel Washington lookalike, he and three other students we had singled out for special recognition. So the children were all the way down at the end of this long hallway. The people that run the club were assembling them and telling them about the guidelines, and they had to qualify and all that. And we call out the names of the four children who are being singled out for the top awards, and they got to come to special applause, you know, as they were coming down and coming into the party room. So we do what we can within very limited budgets, because we pay for all of this out of pocket to honor the children. And so those are some of the bags of tricks that we have, just to help the children learn, because that's the bottom line. I'd mentioned. Yes, go
well,
ahead.
Well, I'm back, Peyton. I just no, we lost our friend there. I haven't told an introduction, which hopefully people have been listening to the show and know who you are, because you come on every time we ask you. You're so gracious to us. But you know, you do so much in the field of politics, and it's because of your love for families, for children, and you have that wonderful website, PeytonWolcott.com, and people will go there, PeytonWolcott,
Wolcott,
they will get an awful lot of information about what's going on and really in education, things that unfortunately they do not get to hear on a lot of mainstream media, but it's very important. But, you know, while you're fighting there, you're also, you know, extending hands and feet to serve the children in your community. And I'm just thinking, you know, for grandparents, mothers that have spare time, and, you know, what a wonderful opportunity to change really a community. Because, you know, I've always heard in certain towns, certain times of the year, you can count on there's going to be more crime. There's going to be more stealing and things like that, you know, around Christmas. But you know, I just think with what you're doing, Peyton, you are giving these children a sense of purpose, and you're teaching them how they can learn how to fish. You know, they're not going to have to be handed out things by the government, because you're equipping them with something God naturally gave them,
well,
which is their intellect.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because we do other things with them. Now, realize we have these children for a very, very, very limited period of time, and there are a lot of pressures on us because, you know, children are active and they get noisy and boisterous, and the club likes for us to keep them a little bit quieter than they might like to be. So we have a lot on that end that we also have to keep track of. One of my favorite things to do is there's a very small, basic skill that I try and teach each one of the children one-on-one, and that's how to shake hands. This is a life skill nobody has taught them. I would say maybe 5% of the children that we encounter know how to shake hands, and I do it not in a mean way, but in a friendly way, and oh, nice firm hand. No, let's really shake my hand. And firm, because the boys are afraid to be, you know, they think they might hurt me or whatever, and the girls are generally timid also. And so I teach them the value of a nice firm handshake, look me in the eye, and smile. This is a life skill. When they go interview for a job, when they go to interview for any kind of position in education, when they're meeting with a teacher, when they're meeting with anybody, this is a very important life skill, to be able to have a nice, firm handshake, eye contact, and a smile. That's so basic. The kids love it, and they'll kind of teach each other at some point. And one other thing that I've learned, the children, you can see, oftentimes they're a little overwhelmed because they've not had to memorize before. If you can follow what I'm saying, it's a brand new skill for them. And especially the older they are, the more embarrassed they are. And so I came up with this analogy, and even the girls get it. Said, you know, you watch the big boys, the football players, when they're practicing football, you know how they're running the tires, and, you know, you point with your fingers like you're pretend you're running the tires with your fingers, and they understand what you're saying. I say, what we're learning, what we're teaching you to learn how to do is run the tires with your minds.
Wow.
And they get it. And that makes it a little bit more cool. You know, what boy doesn't want to be a football player here in Texas especially? And they really do get that, and they get it's a good analogy. So we've got a whole shopping bag full of little things that we've learned along the way. And anybody who wants to contact me, it's Peyton@PeytonWalcott.com. I've got the a version of that on my website. I'm happy to work with people. This is one of the most rewarding things I've ever done, and I've been a volunteer since junior high when I was a candy striper at the local hospital. I was I was Cancer Crusade chairman in my 20s. I was in charge of, as a volunteer, a lot of fundraising activities. This has been my life. This is one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. It's just the most cool thing in the world. It's tiring, but you know what? I call it God's beauty plan. You go, and no matter how tired you are, just being around the children is so wonderful and so energizing. We've all three agreed that we might have had the most running as ragged day possible, but after an hour or so with the children, we're ready, we're fired up and ready to go. It's amazing.
Well, you know, it reminds me of, vacation, Bible school. You know, you get so tired and it is a lot of work, but, you know, when it's over and done with, you just can't believe you did it, and you are so satisfied. You have there's nothing like investing in these children, which is what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's such an easy format, the way you have explained it, that, you know, there needs to be one in every school system, because the kids they don't have to fail. With what you have shared, they don't have to be a failure. Because I think a lot of times the problem is the parents are, like you're saying, they're very busy. Busy keeping a roof over their, children's head. Mm-hmm. And they really, as much as they'd like to help the child, by the time they get home with the traffic,
tell you another little story, because we're at the Mexican border. We have a lot of children who are coming back and forth across. And I'll tell one little girl, we keep their names private and secret, and there's no way anybody could learn who this child is. But this last year, there was a situation where this child had just come up and was staying with the family and was kind of the forgotten child, hair in her face, and kind of seemed apathetic. And it turns out Daddy was in Mexico, and he was sent back to Mexico, and he had to pay somebody to come back across. And it was this whole life story. As a conservative, I want legal immigration. As a grandmother volunteer, I'm here with this child. How can I do anything but love this child and help her to succeed?
Oh, exactly, Peyton. It's really heartbreaking that, Mexico has so many problems that their people end up having to leave that country. And, and that's, of course, it takes a lot of work to get that righted. But when you bring a new generation up that knows how to treat one another, that knows that they don't have to rely on the government, they can be self-sufficient. They've been given the equipment by God, and with people like you, that's what breeds a better nation, the future generation. And to know you're doing double duty, because you're trying to help also here at home. And how do we have a better future? Well, it's got to be with a new generation realizing the truth that they can learn how to become fishermen instead of dependent on their government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I talk to the children all the time. What do you want to do when you grow up? And, the average third grader or fifth grader really is not given a lot of thought, but a surprising number of them have given it some thought. And so we start talking about, you know, they want to be, say, say they want to be a contractor. They want to build houses. Well, a building contractor is going to have to be able to add really fast. When the foreman is in front of them and asking how many 2x4 studs you need to build that wall, well, you can't sit down and 1, 2, 3. You have to be able to estimate, okay, I need 12 to cover a 15-foot area, you know what I'm, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it makes it more real for them.
Mm. Well, Peyton, I don't know if I can keep you longer because you're always busy helping so many.
Well,
we have
thank
got
you, Diana,
to come back on.
Thank you so much for letting me talk about this. This is so exciting, and it's such a wonderful program, and it's replicable. Anybody can do this. None of us.
Oh, my goodness.
Have
but
any
you know
special...
what? Just listening to you makes me think, because, you know, you are able to help kids in your community, and it is making an impact that we can't even imagine. But it is going to breed a better community, you know, because these are going to be better families. You know, if one of them knows, each one teach one, as we hear Donna Garner, one in their family knows, you know, they can share that. And it inspires some of the younger children and inspires the parents, you know, to become better because one knows. But I'm just thinking to myself, it is so sad. But the Department of Ed does not listen to these simple ways of helping that made it really a job to make many more jobs because they've so complicated the process. But I know you're hoping that things will get better. And if anybody can tell them what they need to be looking at, I think you need to be heard. So,
well,
I'm
the,
just so
the
excited
thing is,
to know you.
One of the things I learned a long time ago, one of the most basic things I've found to be true is start small. Start local and start simple. The check register movement that I founded 5.5 years ago on my laptop here in Horseshoe Bay started with the names of a handful of school districts. Like I had the names of 2 in Texas. That was it. I later learned there were more across America, but back then in fall of 2006, there weren't even a dozen school districts with their check registers online. And we started asking heart to heart, person to person. I would just find somebody that seemed interested. I'd talk to them. I'd drive and visit with them. They eventually put their check register online. Getting the first 30 was our tipping point. And now we've got whole states that I didn't even talk to. Yeah, I talked to people in South Carolina. Yeah, I talked to people in Florida. Yeah, I talked to people in New York. But Idaho, I didn't talk to anybody in Idaho. So it's something that once you can get something like this started, things do snowball in a good way. So same with the math program. If anybody's heart is touched, today who might be able to find an hour each afternoon, 4 afternoon, 3 or 4 afternoons a week, they can really make an impact, and I will work with them. And all it takes are getting a few people started in a few states. And then who knows what might happen in America, right?
Well, it's simple, easy to start, and easy to accomplish. We just need some individuals who will take, you know, some time out of their busy schedule. So we got to cover it in prayer, Peyton. It's so important what you're doing because I think it is going to save families. I mean, you know, it might seem small for someone, but wow, I just think that child that can go on with a light bulb and know that he can accomplish this, knows he can accomplish other things. So I just thank
That's
God
exactly
for
it.
You, Peyton.
Well put. Yes.
Oh, thank God for you and everything else you're doing, including in the field of politics, where you are making a stand for the children of America. And Peyton, I'm going to go ahead and I'd like for you to, but you'll come back on. I, you
oh,
know,
of course.
I'll set aside some time if you don't mind, let you I'd like to ask you about the other subject matters, maybe, you know, your take on other things, the English, if you don't mind, if that's something you can touch and give us some just ideas on how you think children can be helped with those things. But anyway, I'm going to close, and if you don't mind, I'm going to close us in prayer, or unless you'd like to close us in prayer.
Oh, I would be honored.
Oh, thank you, Peyton.
Dear God, source of all good in our lives, thank you for this brief moment in time. Thank you for allowing us to come together. Thank you for the exchange of ideas, energy, love. Thank you for guiding us, guarding us, protecting us. Thank you for showing us how to lean on the sustaining infinite that is the basis of faith. Thank you for this. Amen.
Well, let me pray a blessing over you, if you don't mind, Peyton.
Thank
you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for the work that Peyton is doing, Lord. And she just doesn't talk the talk, Lord. She walks the walk. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll open doors of opportunity for her, that this idea, Lord, will be placed in the right heart, in the right minds, that it will burden people, Lord, to do something, to help it spread, Lord, such a simple way. But it starts with love, Lord. And as in the beginning, when parents, Lord, taught their children at home, there was so much love, nothing was impossible. And that's still the case today. There is so much love that they take the time one-on-one for that child. And, Lord, it makes a tremendous difference because it's all about a relationship, just like that relationship with you, Lord. Just you take the time to answer our prayers, to hear our plea, Lord. You, the creator of the universe, have the time to hear our requests. You say, boldly do we need to come before you in the throne of grace, Lord, to give everything to you in prayer. So right now, Lord, I just thank God for the listeners, and I pray that you will melt their heart and let them know, Lord, that you love them, and that, Lord, you are able to help them, whatever they're feeling, whatever pain, whatever stress, be it body, mind, soul, that, Lord, nothing is too hard for you. And I pray, Lord, that they will ask you, Heavenly Father, to enter their life and be their Lord. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Peyton.
Woohoo!
God is so good. I mean, oh, my gosh. I'm going to try. You know, I failed so many times in writing these things out, but I'm going to go back and listen, and I'm going to try to write an article from what you have taught and try to pass it around, email it to everyone I know, because it works. It works.
It's so simple, and it's so, well, here, I'll leave you with this, Diana. It is also God's secret beauty treatment. It takes years off your face, and I'll tell you why. We're all grandmothers. We all have some gray in our hair, right? So we were there, and one of the women wasn't able to come one day, and she looked at me. She said, you know, where's that other girl? We have not been called girls in a while, but this little child called her a girl. So it really does make you young. Anyway,
wow.
Thank you so much, Diana.
So
God bless you.
Oh, thank you, Peyton, and look forward to the next time, Peyton. God bless you.
Till then.
Well, thank
care.
You, listeners. Oh, yes. May God bless you and shine his face upon you. Please visit Peyton's website, Peyton. Wolcott, WOLCOTT.com. And thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.